Good morning. We're going to continue today the sugya of Zanyan of Zeloi Chaser. Now, as we discussed last week, there are really three separate questions to deal with in Zanyan of Zeloi Chaser. The classic case and the primary discussion in the Poskim is after the fact. You went ahead, you benefited from someone else's asset. He suffered no loss. So the halacha is koyfen on midas toim. He has no right to send you a bill. Again, most of the discussion in the poskim is after the fact, whether he can charge you for your benefit, for your use or not, and the halacha is he cannot. The second question is less clear, and that is, what is halacha lechanchila? I know this fellow was going away for the summer. I would like to move into his house. I'm going to be very careful. I'll be a good tenant. I'm not going to ruin it. Can I force him? Koyfen on midas toim. Give me the key. Let me use your house, since for me it will be a tremendous benefit. For you, it will be no loss. So we hear the Ramah paskins that you cannot be koifa. You cannot force someone. If it belongs to him, he has the right to say, I don't want it being used. There's no koifa on me to study. That's only after the fact. However, some of the achrayim were medayik from the Ramah. The Ramah sounds like this applies only when you're moving into his house for a month. If he wants to, he could rent this house out to someone else and profit. That may not be his plan. But since this is something that has a value, it could be sold, there's a market for it, so there, lechadchila, you cannot force him to give it to you for free. He has the right to say, I don't want to give it out. However, the Ramo is mashma that if it's something that has absolutely no value, it's something that cannot, there's no market for it, someone wants to, you know, walk through your parking lot or park there for a few hours in an area where you cannot sell the spot. You can't rent it out. It's not in the city. So there, the Ramah sounds like you could even be kaifin l'chadchila. Now, la'alocha, it will be difficult to do so because some of the G'dayli Achroinim, the Beis Ephraim, the Noidim Yehuda, the Divrei Malkiel, they argue. They say there are many Rishonim that say across the board you can never force someone to let him use your asset. But it's a machlokes. The third shayla, which is not really discussed explicitly very very much, is what is the halacha lechadchila, whether it is mutter to do that? Am I allowed to go ahead, if the owner is not there, am I allowed to go ahead and use his item without asking him if it will not cause him a loss? So over here, there is a diuk in Yamshel Shloima, in Pnei Yeshua, and in Agoin, that all sound that in a case where the owner is not benefiting from the use, now it's when you move into someone's house, he has a benefit, it's being watched, it's being guarded, there's a benefit. So there it's mutter lechadchila. But where there is no benefit for him, there they sound like there is an isser lechadchila. It is doyma to a shayol shloim midas, and you cannot, it would be usher to go ahead and to do it. Now mitzad sheni, there are other Rishonim that answer this kasha. These and the Yamshel Shloima are answering a certain kasha. There are other Rishonim that answer it in a different way, which is mashma. They may argue. The Chazam Sofer sounds like it's mutter lechadchila. And in addition, we just said a minute ago that there's a machlokes. According to some poskim, you can even be koyfe. You can force someone to koyfe on me the same. You can force them to let you use their house or their thing if it will not cause a loss. If according to some shittas, Bezin will force him to let you use it, obviously these shittas cannot hold that it's also the chachilo of shalosh lamidas. So from the fact that it's a machlokes there, and there are shittas that hold you can be koyfa, certainly that it would be mutter it would be mutter to do so, and there would be no issa. So. Okay, that's for a dvar mitzvah. That's. Correct. That's true. But in that case, it's typically talking about metalathlon. By metalathlon, there is a halacha of a shalosh lemidas. If someone's not around, you want to take his car. That is a shalosh lemidas gazlin. Because by metalathlon, whenever you take it, you can walk off with it, you can do things to it. He may never see it again, and that certainly would be aser. The cases of Zenin and Zeloi Chaser are all discussed cases of karka, where it's not going anywhere. And therefore, the shalosh lemidas. Okay, the printing press is different because it's not his. It doesn't belong to the it's a case. The other cases of Zen and Zeloi Chaser where a person did work for you, where someone can't walk away with the work. It's not something that can be damaged or lost. But in case of metalton, you're correct, it would be a shalosh lamidas. Here, the cases of that they're discussing about lechatchila are all talking about cases of karka. Now, lahalacha, it would seem that in a case where the owner, there's no rental, there's no market value, the owner cannot profit, cannot sell it to someone else. So there, we said the Ramaz mashma ti kaifel lechatchila. So there, in that case, if the Ramaz seems to kaifel lechatchila, it certainly would be mutr lechatchila to do it as well. Furthermore, there's a Beis Ephraim that says that in the case of a Zenev Zelichaser, if the norm is that people are not makbid on it, if he's not around, you certainly can assume he's okay with it and it'll be mutzah to do it without asking permission. On the other hand, if it's something which most people are makbid on, today moving into someone's house is probably something that people are makbid on, so there already it is not so poshut, and there it's kedai to be machmir lechatchila. Now this brings us, now that we've done the regular cases of Zeinab Zelichaser, there's a related sugya, and which is the sugya of Makif and Nikif. Now there's a story a few years ago, in Lakewood they've built many developments over the past few years as the city has grown. And the way they build these developments is you'll have a builder that will buy up a huge area of land, they come in, they just totally knock down all the trees, they make it perfectly flat, they subdivide it, and put up 20, 30, 40 houses. Now what happens is you end up with a beautiful new neighborhood, nice, large, beautiful new houses, with absolutely no privacy, because it is all flat, it is all open, there are no trees, people generally don't do much landscaping, and you know there is a certain disadvantage to moving into one of these new complexes. A fellow buys a house, and a few weeks after he moved in, his next door neighbor on the right side knocks on his door, and tells him that, you know, his kids are roaming the neighborhood and there's no privacy. He's putting a fence around his property. So he asked him, would you like to split and share the cost of the property line that we share? The fellow said, listen, I'm sorry. I'm not really up to putting on a fence. I'm open from all the sides. I understand why you want to do it, but I'm not prepared to chip in. Okay, so the neighbor went ahead and built his fence. 2 weeks later, this fellow does a knock on the door, and it's his neighbor on his left side. He had enough of this open. He wants to put in a fence, and he wants his neighbor to chip in on the wall that they're sharing. Again, he said, listen, I'd really love to, but that's not really what I'm ready to spend my money on. Anyway, I'm open in the back. I'm going to have to decline. Fine. So the fellow goes ahead on his own. He has no choice. He builds a fence around his property. The next week, there's a knock on the door, and sure enough, it's a fellow who lives behind him. And he's also fencing in his property, and he'd like him to share the fence that runs between the two their properties. And again, this fellow declines. It's true, he declines, but then once the fence goes up, he comes outside, he sees his backyard is completely fenced in. So what he then does is he goes ahead, he calls down someone who does fencing, and he completes just in the front of his house, between you know, from the edge of his house until the property line, a couple of feet, cost him a few dollars, and now he has a completely private and fenced-in backyard. What is the halacha? So here the halacha is that in this case, where you went ahead and you completed the fence, l'kula yamba, you would have to pay. And the way the Poskim explain is that although in theory it's a Zenev Zelichaser, you're not causing a loss. You may be benefiting from your neighbor's fence, but your benefit, whether you're benefiting or not, doesn't cost them anything. So it might be a Zenev Zelichaser. But since there is a Gilui Das, since once the three fences were up, you went ahead and you spent money to complete the fourth side, the fourth fence, so there the halacha is Maga'aglun of Esakol. Now all of your neighbors can come back, knock on your door, and say they want you to chip in and share in the expense of the entire fence.
So now, they fill the whole wall.
That's the whole wall. You have the house, and they have the wall in two sides. The house is the same thing as the wall. It doesn't have to be. If you built a moat, it would be the same thing.
I mean, the big difference, if you spend, you know, $3,000...
Oh, very good. Very good. So one of the chidushim that you see from this Gemara is in the case of the Gemara, in the case of the Mishnah, you are now fenced in on all four sides. Now, building a fence around all four sides of your property is expensive. In this case, what was the Gilui Das? All you did is the Nikiv went ahead and built one side. All you see is that he's ready to spend one quarter of the cost of the fence. Still, once we see this benefit has value to you, you now have to share in the entire expense. Because since you show that it has value to you, you can't freeload off your neighbors, and you're going to have to chip into each and every side. So although we only saw a Gilui Das for a few hundred dollars, you only did one side, or in this case, you only did it, it was only part of a side. But now that you've demonstrated you want to be protected and you're willing to pay for it, the fact that we can now be mechayev you for the entire amount.
Can you take down the fence now?
What?
Can you take down the front?
Probably could. If you now that you realize how much it is, possibly.
I mean, kind of, look, really, I would rather an open area.
Okay, you know, let me just go through the note of Yehuda, and well, this halacha is going to be, we're going to have to qualify this a little bit. So then when we finish, I'll take questions.
Does that mean you can never put bushes over there?
Okay, hold on. Now, based on this, there's in this concept, the note of Yehuda deals with a fascinating case. It's a very widely quoted tshuva. A person printed wrote a pirush on two sedarim of a Gemara. So he went ahead. What do you do if you have a pirush on Gemara? So he went ahead. He printed a shas, and he put his pirush on the bottom. You have Rashi, Taisvis, and whatever the name of the author was. Now, printing back then was a very difficult and very expensive proposition. You had to take each individual page. You had to typeset each and every letter. You had to they would print that page, print however many copies, 1,000 copies. And then typically what they would do is they would go ahead, they would typeset the next page, and they would do, they have to go, it was a very, it took a lot of time, and svarim back then were extremely expensive. Now this printer apparently had a lot of extra plates. So although the practice normally was, every time you did that base, you set it up, when you finished, after you printed all the copies, you went ahead and you reset the same plate for Daf Gimel and Daf Dalet, you went one blot after another. This printer had apparently hundreds of extra plates. So what he did is he set up dot base, he printed it. Instead of messing it up and typesetting the next dot on the same plate, he went ahead, he took another plate and did daf gimel. And he took another plate and did daf dalet. And he ended up, at the end of it, when he finished the job, after he was paid for the entire gemaras that he printed, he ended up with enough plates to reprint the shas again. And that's exactly what he did. What he did is he cut off the bottom of the plates, he cut off this new pirush, and he then went ahead and printed the Gemara. Now he sold this Gemara at a fraction of the price that the author was selling it for, because he had no expenses. Oh, the entire cost of typesetting was already paid by the first author. The author said, "You can't do this. I paid for it, these are my plates, you're benefiting from my work. I want you to now reimburse me for half of the cost of this of the typesetting." So now the Yehuda starts off with that this is a case of a Zen and of a Zelichasa. The author paid, negotiated a price, he paid a certain amount, he got his Gemaras at whatever the price that he wanted, that he negotiated. Now the printer is going ahead and he's benefiting, he's getting cheap Gemaras. That's, it's true he's being Nana, he's benefiting, but that's not a chaser. The author is not losing anything, and therefore the Nadi Yehuda says he should be potter. Okay, good. So now Yehuda at the end, we discussed this 2 weeks ago. Yehuda at the end ends up saying that it's a chaser because people aren't buying the Gemaras. In the beginning, Nadi Yehuda seems to be assuming that it's not a direct chaser. You're not losing from the use; it's an indirect, and that's but you're right. Lahalacha, that's why he at the end of the day says you will have to pay. It's called a chasar. But before then, he says even without a chasar, and he uses this concept. He says that. If you're Nana, if I move into your house, I have benefit, you don't have a chasara, I don't have to pay. But if there's a gilui das d'nichale, when I go ahead, if I build the fourth wall, I show I'm willing to spend money for my privacy, then you can send me a bill for everything. So over here, this printer, it's true, he didn't have to pay for the typesetting. But he had to pay for the printing, he had to pay for the distribution, he was willing to invest money to have a printed set of Gemara. Once he's willing to spend money, even though it's only a little bit, once it's a gilui das d'nichale, you can hit him for the entire amount, and they should have to split the cost. And the Nadi Yehuda suggests, for this reason, perhaps you have to pay. Then the Noyd Behuda is Chayzer. And he says, no. He says the case of Taisis, the case of Taisis, where the Gili Das Dinichla you have to pay, he said that doesn't apply across the board. That applies only when you're building, let's go back to the case of a fence. When I'm building a fence, why does my neighbor want to build a fence between his house and mine? He wants privacy. Who causes the fact, whose fault is it that he doesn't have any privacy? Who's looking into his backyard? Me. So I'm going ahead. I'm the one that looks into his backyard that's forcing him to put up a wall. And then I want to tell him, no, Zenev is Elechasa. So in there, the way to understand it, in that case, where I'm the cause for the fence in the first place, so then even though Zenev is Elechasa is Potter, once I show I'm willing to spend any money, I also want this fence, I want the privacy, then I have to share in the expense, I have to pay half the cost. How is Zakna Noyde Behuda? When your expense has nothing to do with me, I'm not the cause. I'm not looking into bag. I'm not the one that's causing you to spend the money. This expense is on your own. You want to print a shas. You have your safer. You want to sell. So you want to hire someone for typesetting. I'm not causing you to have that expense. You want to pay to have a gemara printed. So there, where I'm not the cause of the problem in the first place. Noyde Behuda paskins, even when there's Gilui Das, even though when I show I'm willing to spend money, you can't go ahead and hit me for a bill for the entire amount. Now this is Machlokes, and Noyde Behuda learns it in Taisus, which is a bit schwer, but there is a Yamsha Shleimai and other Rishonim and Achronim that use similar Svaros, and therefore the Halacha, although the Machaber says Gilui Das is enough to be Chayiv, the Halacha in such a case, where you're not the cause of the damage, it'll be difficult to force him to pay. Now, what?
The fact that you look at the Nesek Rama,
that's true. If not for the fact that the person's willing to spend the money, the person that closes off the fourth side, you can't make him pay. Because privacy, you're not a mazik. It's not a case of hezekria. It's a place where you usually don't build walls. You can't be mechayiv and malta mazik. But when you go ahead and you're benefiting from it also, and you show you're willing to spend money for it, there you can't free loan on him. If it's your fault, you're going to end up paying if you benefit.
Is that like all promise where somehow you get an advantage at the end and you?
If you're being nene from it, and you're the one that's causing the loss, then the halacha of zen and of zelichasa would not apply. Correct.
So in the case of fence,
it'll actually come out very interesting. Why are you building the fence? So if the reason why you're building the fence is you want privacy, so then everyone would agree you'd have to chip in. Because even in the Noyde Behuda, because since the neighbor's the one that caused the problem, since they're benefiting, they would certainly have to chip in. On the other hand, if the reason why you have a fence is you want to cage in your children, you want to be able to play in the backyard, and you don't have to worry where they wandered off. So there, I'm not the problem. The reason why my neighbor wants to put up a fence has nothing to do with me. Anyway, it's not like my fault. I'm looking in. He has to shield himself from prying eyes in my house. He's building a fence because he wants to know where his kids are. So there, there's no atgarim le'kefi yaseira. There, it's not my fault. I wasn't goyim him to build it. And in such a case, according to the Noyde Behuda, even when there's a gilui das, even when I built in the fourth side, I would not have to chip in. But in a typical case where you have both, where he would build it for the privacy issue alone, and I think most people that build fences are doing it for the privacy. So in such a case, you certainly would be able to be mechayev him. I mean, I think normally people do it. You know, most people, children are not pets. They're not.
What about the flip side of this person? He wants his kids to be able to run all over the place. Now he blocked
him off.
He says,
block him off. Wait, slow down. You're blocking him off from trespassing in his backyard.
Oh, look. First of all, everybody runs around. Whatever. You know, what about you? He wants to do. I think we have
to bring your neighbor here to have a discussion about this.
But I guess he wants the view. And now the guy put up these walls and he blocked everything. He said, look, now they blocked it.
Again, the view, you want a view of the your next door neighbor's deck or his kitchen?
What? You could have an advantage that you like, it looks spacious, you know, like, for instance, like, I give a neighbor, you put up a shack right next to mine, it looks like, you know,
Okay, in general, you don't own your views. If you want to own the view, buy yourself 50 acres somewhere, but it's a hard. If you don't want it, if it's not a hana, then if it's not a hana, if it's a chasaron, then you wouldn't have to pay.
So what's the final thing but, that the Nari used in the printing? Was it that he had to pay, or he
did not? So now that at the end, for this reason, you would not have to pay. At the end, he ends up saying it's a zenev is a chasar. Since the new printer is competing with the author, and now he's undercutting it, and the author's going to lose sales, that's called a chasaron. So it's a zenev is a chasar, and you could force him to chip in and to pay. What, it's see-through? No privacy?
It's not for privacy. It's because it's pretty hedges and things like that.
If it doesn't accomplish anything, and he has no privacy, then he hasn't gained anything by the other three. Because the same way you can't do anything, whatever you don't want to do when people are looking, you still can't do it because people can see in, then there's no hana. When there's no hana, you would not have to pay.
What if he wants to have both?
If you have both purposes, but then you're showing that the privacy has value to you, and you would have to pay.
The cosmetic, let's say you do it for cosmetics, it looks strange, man. You have three walls, and you want to finish the product.
Okay, so if you have such a case where there's no, if you have a case and you there's no gilui das d'nichle, where you have no interest in the privacy, it's just going to look strange and economic. Then you'd probably be potter. Okay, so there is this discussion. There seems to be back then, Shita Zaramba, that has to be, this applies only when it's on both of their properties. The Rambam is talking about a case where there's a benefit of having your property because you get to use it, you can use it to lean things on. Today, I don't think these cheshbonos would really apply. And the fact that they put it on their property is an advantage to you. You have more space and you have the same privacy.
No, I'm saying, but no, then they want to argue that they want to pay for it, but it's not on my property. If something happens to it, I'm going to grab a document saying that the thing that's on your property is also mine.
In halacha, that's a factor. And Mechaber paskins that you pay less when it's on the other person's property because you don't own it. Today, it's much less of an argument because there's no advantage to having it on your property. It's better to have it on the other neighbor's property because it's not taking up space. You're not using it to store things. They used to store things in fences and things like that. That doesn't really apply today. It's a good question. I would presume that if had you not been there, he would need the same fence, then you can't say at garm lekefi yaseira. You're not the cause. On the other hand, if this side, it's true, the other side, he would need a fence to protect himself. But on this side, if you weren't here, if it was just a forest, then he would not build it. Okay, so what does not being there mean? Like, what's he assuming? What would be there? Would it be a wall? Would it be someone else? I would presume that the gather would be is that if you were not there, he would not need it. Then you'd be potter. Then you'd be chayiv. If on the other hand, if you weren't here, he would still he wouldn't build it because of whatever the cheshbonos are. Then you'd be chayiv. Okay, let me just. Well, I just want to cover one other topic before we finish.
Why do you have to say that you lower the price?
Okay.
Now
there's a related sugya which also comes into this truth of the Noida Yehuda, and this is a very common shaila. The Ramo's case is there were two people who were captured; they were being held captive. And one of them, that's in order to free himself, it seems the way to free yourself is you had to lobby the right people, you had to bribe the right people. Ultimately, he was successful. But when he was released, they waited, I guess it was the presidential pardon. Once he pardoned the first one, he just pardoned both people and they both walked out free. The question is, could he bill the second person who was freed through his ishtadlus, through his effort, and through his expense? So Rama paskins that no, you were out for yourself. You bribed the governor, you pay whatever you did, you lobbied in order to get yourself out of jail. Now it's true someone else benefited, but that didn't cost you anything. You didn't originally intend to do it for both of you, you're doing it for yourself. The benefit that he has is a zanan of his eloi chaser, and in that case, you'd be potter. Now, a similar case that comes up, Maril Diskin has such a case. A person went ahead, he lobbied the government for a certain program. He spent years doing it. There were expenses involved, there was time involved. And then, when the government accepted the idea, they went ahead and they put it out for public bid. Suddenly, other people came in, they went ahead, they bid on the project, and they got the bid. So there, the first person who had lobbied the government and gotten them to open this up, to sell this piece of property, whatever the story was, said, we want to get paid for our work. And that halacha is nothing doing. You did it for yourself. You did it because you felt that if the government sells this piece of property or puts out this bid, you'll be able to get it. You were wrong. But since you were doing it for yourself, you weren't doing it for anyone else, you're not a yoyred, and you would have no right to bill the other person. Zok the Rama. There's an important condition here. And that is, this applies only. You're in jail, he is in jail. You're out to save yourself. For some reason, when the governor, when they're signing the presidential pardon, the last day of as president, so he signs a whole stack of them, the other person goes free. So halacha over there is, there you have no right to, that's a zenev, a zelechaser, you can't be billed. You can't bill him. On the other hand, if when you got involved in the first place, let's say a third person got involved. Third person heard there are two Jews in prison. He goes ahead and he starts lobbying the government to release both of them. So he spends money. He's successful. Obviously, he can bill both of them. He went ahead. He did it for both. He had expenses. So he can go ahead and each of them will have to pay their share of what it costs to get them out of jail. So the same thing would apply for you yourself. If when you go ahead and you're working on your pardon, you're working on both at the same time, you know he needs it, you're working on both of you, you're either in it for the same thing or whatever, but you're actively doing it on behalf of both, in that case, that's not called a zenev zelechaser. That's something which you both needed. So even if I went out on my own and I did it, I have the right to send you a bill. And the Nesivos learns from this, and he says this many places throughout Klesh and Mishpah, whenever you have a situation where two people need the same thing, and they have to do it together, if one of them goes ahead and does it, the other person cannot freeload, and you can send them a bill. It's not a case of zenev zelechaser. A very common example of this is you'll have two people who own properties in the middle of nowhere, and before you can develop it, you have to bring in the utilities, you have to bring in the water main, the sewer line, the electricity. It's very expensive to do that. You have to pay the utilities, you have to pay the companies to go ahead and extend it. Now what happens if one of them goes and figures that, listen, I know the fellow down across the street from me also wants to develop, and he's going to have to bring it in himself. Let me wait until he does the work. He'll pay to extend the lines, and afterwards I'll freeload. I'll just build my houses and I'll hook right into the utilities. So in such a case, according to the Nesivos, according to this Ramah, if it's something that both of them need, then they have the right, whoever does it has the right to force the other person to chip in and to pay for half the expense.
That's at a much later date.
That's a good question. The Chavetzel Sasharon deals in Chesh Mishpat Siman Lamed has a case where there's one person says he's not ready for it yet, and he says you're potter. But in that case, there was a chashash that it would deteriorate between now and then. So in such a case, he says you can't force him to pay. On the other hand, if he clearly needs it, it's just a question of time, he may be able to say, I don't need it yet, I'm going to wait until I need it, and that's when I have that, no, that's when I'll pay you. But ultimately, if it's clear that he will need it, it's just a question of time, I would think that he would have to pay. Now, if he does have, if he has another option, if he has another alternative, if instead of putting in, if he could put in wells and septic, even though it may not be as geschmack, it may not be as good, but if he has another alternative, this halach will not apply. The Nesivos says it only when they absolutely need this to be done. So if it is a viable option, it depends. It probably depends on the zoning. It depends on a number of things. But if there is another cheaper viable option, even though it's not as good, you would not be able to force him to share in this entire cost.
Does this not apply if one of them is a goy?
Okay, a goy will be very different. I don't know if you'll have this takana by a goy. Yeah, exactly. Well, in this case, okay, my case was they were across the street, the Vidafka.
The reason I was asking is this is a case
Okay, no, let me just clear ice, and then we'll get back to this. Now, based on this, the Shvus Yaakov has two tshuvas, very similar cases, where he gives the exact opposite psak. The cases were, both cases were cases there was a fire that broke out in the city. Now, back then, when there was a fire in the city, it was a tremendous sakana. And one of the reasons why there was such a sakana is that the houses themselves, I'm not sure what they were built out of. They weren't that flammable. But the problem is the roofs were made out of straw and made out of hay. And it was piled up. And what would happen is that straw and hay is very easy for it to catch on fire. Once it would catch on fire, it was this big, you know, stuffed, it was very thick. And it would just, the fire would spread from one roof to another, and it was chashash for the entire city. So what happened is a fire broke out, and there was an apartment building where the fellow who lived on the upstairs apartment saw what was happening. He saw that the fire was spreading, so he quickly took an axe and he destroyed his roof. He totally knocked it down. Since he had no roof, the house itself wasn't flammable, and the house was saved. After everything settled down, he then went down to his neighbors, the fellow tenants in the apartment building, and said, I saved all of our houses. Had I not done this, the entire building would have burnt down. I went ahead and I saved our house. There was expense involved. We need a new roof. I want everyone to chip in for the cost of the roof. What? In the city? Okay. He wasn't that ambitious. A similar case, where almost the same exact story in Chelik Beis, but here, instead of the person knocking down the roof, what happened is that the firefighters came, the person, and he went ahead, and the firefighter himself instructed and had his men take down the roof. So here also, the person who lived on the top said that my roof, knocking down my roof, was done to save the entire building. Since it was done to save the entire building, this is similar to a case where you have to bribe, you have to lobby the government to release us from prison. If we both were released, then we should share in the expense. What?
The expense of chopping down the roof.
Of replacing it. The loss of not having a roof. Whatever it would cost to put in a new roof.
Why is it bribing?
What?
They, for their own reasons, want to save the whole city. And then he doesn't.
So Zuckerberg should say Yaakov like this. Zagar Shvus Yaakov, when the firefighters came and they knocked down the roof, what were they doing it for? To save everybody. So in this case, since there was an expense, there was an expenditure, you knocked down the roof for the benefit of the entire apartment building, so everyone in the building has to share in the expense. And therefore, in that case, Shvus Yaakov says, everyone would have to reimburse their prorated for the expense that of the roof. Zogar Shvus Yaakov, it's only true in the second case, when the firefighters did it. In the first case, when the person who lived upstairs did it, why did he do it? He was afraid his house was in danger. His house was in danger, he took an axe, he knocked down his roof. Now it's true, because he knocked down his roof, everyone else benefited. But in that, that's a Zenev is Elechaser. Since he did it for himself, he didn't go ahead and make kara, and he wasn't doing it altruistically for the benefit of the entire building, for the entire block. He was doing it just to save his apartment. So that expense he had, it didn't cost him anything extra to save the other people. And there, the Shvus Yaakov says, the other people in the apartment would not have to reimburse him. Right, but in the case of the fences, first of all, there was the person who is building the fourth wall is part of the problem. He's part of the one that caused it because of the privacy. And once he goes ahead and he spends money on the fourth wall, he has to now chip in for everything. Over here, the neighbors, they didn't spend any money. They didn't do anything. This person went ahead for himself and did something. No one else spent any money. There's no Gilui Das D'Nichole, and therefore the Shvus Yaakov says you would not have to pay.
You don't need a Gilui Das.
Okay, wait, hold on a second. Now on this, the Gur Ari Yehuda really asks, that he says, wait a second. When the person on top knocked down the roof, it's true he was saving himself. But he knew he lived in an apartment building. He knew he was saving other people. So why do we jump to conclusions that, you know, in the case of when the person's in jail, so you're lobbying to get released. If somehow at the end they release both people, so there you're potter, because you were working for yourself his benefit is just consequential, and you don't have to pay. In this case, when you took down the roof, you knew you were saving three apartments. So who says that the person is doing it for himself? L'chaira, he's doing it adas for all of them, and he should be able to be reimbursed. So the Gra Yehuda, based on this, based on this, argues in the Shos Yaakov. But then he brings in another factor, which really, you know, opens up another entire sugya. Let's change the case a little bit. Let's say we have an apartment building. And instead of a fire raging through the city, the fire is outside the city. There's a forest outside of the city. Nothing's going to burn inside the city, but there are sparks that are coming from there, and there's sparks being blown through the city. Now, normally, if a spark hits a building, it's a big deal, it'll go out, there's no threat. Over here, the person on top happens to be storing dynamite on his porch. Now, if a spark hits the dynamite, what's going to happen? The entire building is going to blow up. Now, someone goes ahead. They see the sparks, they see the dynamite, they panic. They go ahead, they take all the dynamite, they throw it into the river, they destroy it. Who has to pay for this expense for the fact that this tenant lost all of his dynamite? Now, the tenant's going to say that had a spark hit the dynamite, it wasn't my problem. It's everyone's problem. The building would now be a big crater. So we went ahead, either me or you, someone took ahead and got rid of the dynamite. They saved the entire building. So everyone should have to reimburse us for the cost of the dynamite. So Zog the Gurar Yehuda, nothing doing. The whole issue is, there's a fire burning in the city. Is the fire my fault? Is it your fault? No, there's a fire burning. Now it's true, if we don't knock down the roof, the fire will burn down our house. But Zog the Gurar Yehuda, if not for the roof, what would happen? Absolutely nothing. The building itself is not flammable. You have a roof, and because of your roof, now the fire is going to spread and burn down the whole apartment. Zog the Gurar Yehuda, since it's your roof that's causing the danger, there, if you destroy your roof, don't come to me. This is like the case of dynamite. If you get rid of the dynamite, you can't send me a bill for it, because you're the one that's causing the danger. And since the fire would not threaten the apartment building if not for your roof, so everyone has the right to get rid of the roof, and you can't ask us to reimburse you to become shutfim in this loss. That was the case. The roof belonged. No, it belonged. It's.
And most people have roofs made of this. Most people have diamond.
Oh, very good, very good. So the truth is, the Erech Shai points out that really there's a fascinating machlokes in Siman Shin Pei. How if you have a ship that's traveling and it's about to sink, so halacha is it's too heavy. The halacha is everyone has to throw part of their load overboard. Everyone has 1,000 pounds of goods. Everyone takes 10% if that's what they need. Throw it overboard and wonderful. Now what happens if they go ahead and they throw off your load only? So everyone on the ship has to reimburse you because it was thrown off to save everyone. Now that's in a case where everyone loaded it equally. Now it's going to sink, so we have the right to lighten the load, the burden. What happens if one person brings in more load than he should have, and now the ship is about to sink? So in that case, obviously the person who brought in the extra, he's a roidif. He's the cause of the problem. You take it, you throw it overboard, no problem. Zok the Rama, what happens if you have a ship, and a person brought a donkey along with him on the cruise? The donkey starts jumping up and down, and it's going to destroy the entire ship. The ships weren't quite as big back then, they weren't as strong. The entire ship is in danger. So halacha is, what do? You take the donkey, you throw it overboard. It's a roida if you have the right, you have the right to protect the ship. Zog the Rama, do you have to pay the or reimburse the owner of the donkey? Zog the Rama, it'll depend. If this donkey is a wild donkey, and it's not a normal thing to do to bring a donkey on a ship, then by doing this, you're putting the entire ship in danger. If you go ahead and throw the donkey overboard, it's a mitzvah, no one has any obligation to pay. However, Zog the Rama, if it's normal, people bring donkeys on ships. You know, it was a ferry, that's what you had to do. You had it instead of your car, you brought your donkey along. And donkeys normally are not a danger. So now something happened. There's an oinus. This donkey went mashuga. Since it's not the normal thing, that's an oinus for everyone in the ship. It's everyone's mazel was goyim. This is not a normal thing. And in that case, the Rama paskins that if everyone would have to reimburse the owner of the donkey, since it's not his fault, he's not a right if I bring it on board. Now, based on that, now this is the Rama, the Beis Yosef seems to argue. But based on that, in a case of a roof, as you pointed out correctly, there's nothing irresponsible about having a roof on your house. Everyone has roofs on their house. So although, had you not had a roof, everyone else's apartment would not be in danger. Since having the roof is normal, it's not negligent, you're not a roid if you didn't do anything dangerous, therefore, according to the Rama, even though we have the right to knock down the roof, we would have to reimburse, we'd have to share in the cost, which would be not like this Goral Yehuda. In the case of the dynamite, if it's not a responsible thing to keep dynamite on your porch, so then that would be the case of bringing in a mad donkey, and in that case, there would not be any chiyuv. So based on this, the Erech Shaya argues on the Goral Yehuda and said, and he passes like the Shvus Yaakov, that in the case of the roof, it would really depend why they knocked down the roof. If they knocked down the roof with the intent to save both people, everyone would have to chip in. If they knocked it down just to save himself, then he would not be able to ask for reimbursement. Right, exactly. It's the same that Rukveger on this halacha tells to that. Right, exactly. If he did it for himself, and then he, lo and behold, he turns over the page and he sees someone else benefited, that's mamish this case, and he had no right to send a bill. On the other hand, if he knew that there were two pages to this ledger, and he knew when he went ahead and did it, he was doing it, he was saving both people, and he figured, he'll find out who it is, he'll send him a bill, then he would have the right to charge him after the fact. So if he did it, he didn't even know there was, he thought across the street it was a swamp, it was wetlands. He did not know there was anyone else there, and he did it for himself. So then he would have no right to go ahead afterwards and send the person a bill. On the other hand, if he knows there's a developer there, and he doesn't make Carter thinking, I'm doing it for both of us, and I'm going to send him a bill, since they both benefited, they both needed it, he'd have the right to charge him. Now there's a very similar case in the Gemara where there were five farms, and there was one river that was feeding them. So halach is, if it gets stuffed up all the way on top, you can, each of the farms can force, now really you can play chicken over here. Any farmer that has a couple of dollars can say, listen, I'm not fixing it. Because he knows the other farmers desperately need the water, they're going to have to fix it. So halach is, they can all force each other. Since they all need it, once one person fixes it, it's being done for all of them, the halach is, you have every right to force them. What's interesting is, and this is the Nodi Buda points out, what happens if we have five fields next to each other? And there's no water feeding into this area, so instead of being a farmer, he's a banker. One person goes ahead, digs an irrigation canal, and now suddenly there's a big stream running right by his field. It's running right by his field, the economy's in the pits anyway, so he figures, once there's water here, I may as well open a farm. He could. And you can't send him a bill. Since at the time you went ahead, the first person went ahead and he fixed it, or he built this irrigation ditch, he wasn't doing it for the others. The others didn't need it. They had a bank. They weren't farmers. So since at the time that it was done, it wasn't done for both of them, it was only done for whoever was doing it, and the others did not need it, so there, the fact that afterwards they changed their minds and decided to become farmers, that's a zen and a zelig chaser. The other person doesn't lose, and therefore he would not be able to send a bill.
How's it different than the fence? How's it different than the front fence? How is that case that you just said different from the guy bringing 10 feet of fence?
In the case of the fence, first of all, there's the at garam li hakefi yaseira. There's the fact that the reason why you need a fence is because of me. In the case that we're dealing with now, the reason why you need water has nothing to do with me. You need water because you have a farm. Now, it happens to be when you dig your ditch, I benefit from it, but that I had nothing to do with causing you that initial damage.
That original fence, the first neighbor that put up this fence, how is that different in this case? The first fence doesn't absolutely no benefit.
Okay, that's true. And the Gemara, in Bava Basra, there is a tzad to say that since when the first person did it, there was no benefit yet, he should be putter. But ultimately, as we look at the end game, since when you build one, you know this is one quarter of what he needs. And although it may take some time, because we'll see what happens if the other pieces come in, but you know from the beginning, this, in conjunction with the other things, will have benefit. In contrast, when I have a stream running by a bank, that has absolutely no benefit to the person.
You have to go further because this guy's land.
Okay, possibly. In a case where there's an atgarm liyakei for Yisera, where it runs through his land and that were extra expenses, in a chanami, perhaps that would be different. Well, in a case of the utilities, you know that he needs it. And if you know that he needs it, then the Nesiva says, you become partners. Although you don't know the fellow from Adam, but if you're right across from him, you need the same thing, it needs to be done together, you become partners. And therefore, if I do it in the beginning, I can do it with the intent of billing you afterwards. In that case, again, I'm doing it for both of us. And my intent is to haul you in front of a Bezdin and make you pay afterwards. The same thing is true if we are both captured, and we're both captured, our fates are intertwined, then the same halacha will apply. As long as I know you and I are, you know, if one gets pardoned, we both get pardoned, the halacha would be the exact same.
Does that mean his knowledge is the same as his intent? Is that what we're saying? His knowledge that will benefit both equals his intent?
It doesn't have, so that is a bit unclear, because if you look at the Pistei Tshuva in Reish Samach Daled that were in the Maror Mekoyimos, you'll see from many of them asking questions, I'm not going to be able to go through the cases, but there seems to be a dispute. The Goral Yehuda seems to assume that if I know two people are benefiting from it, then automatically I'm probably doing it for both of us. Mashenke, in the case of the captives, I didn't know. I was bribing or lobbying the government. I didn't realize that because I would get free, they'd free the other person. We weren't necessarily linked together. Other tshuvas sound like you need more. Sound like it has to be that that's part of your motivation. But it's not. It's a good point. It's not completely clear. So that the tshuva moves down from